afternoon, everybody. This is the Consumer Defense Line, brought to you live from beautiful downtown Westchester, Pennsylvania. My name is Michael Forbes, and along with my beautiful wife, Nancy, we are the co-hosts of this show. For those of you who have not heard us before, we were on the station for several years. A few years ago, we started again recently. I'm an attorney who represents consumers against the big bad banks and harassing debt collectors. Most people don't know that they have rights that they can assert against these debt collectors if they are abusing or harassing them or lie to them or falsify documents or information. I also help people keep the credit reporting agencies accountable for information they report on your credit report, and we'll be discussing that a little bit today and further as the weeks go by. Each week we'll highlight a variety of cases and hopefully share information with you that can help you with your credit challenges. We'd love for you to call in and discuss things that happen to be on your mind. Our call-in number is 610-701-9243 or 610-701-WCHE, call letters of the station, of course. You can also reach me at my office at 610-293-9399 or check us out at our website, www.mforbeslaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of information on there, a lot of useful information, hopefully not too much useless information.
Oh,
but
no, that wouldn't happen.
It would never happen, especially because you were in charge of the website. So if there is useless information, let us know. We will.
I kept that floating around in my head.
Yeah, okay. You finally admit it. Anyway, so we're going to start today discussing, because it is Halloween, a topic near and dear to me because I wrote an article that was published in one of the big legal industry websites called the Zombie Debts. And do you know what a zombie debt is, Nancy?
No, but it really sounds quite terrifying.
Well, it is terrifying if you feel that you had a debt that was paid off years ago,
mm-hmm.
or that is so old that you've really forgotten about it,
mm-hmm.
or that is way beyond the statute of limitations for somebody to sue you. And what happens is, if you, let's say, for instance, you have one of the big credit card company debts, and at some point it gets bundled together, even if you paid it off, with other people's debts. They go online, the credit card company, and they sell these bundles of debts on live auctions online. And they sell them to companies that we call junk debt buyers that often buy the debts for 2 to 3 cents on the dollar.
So these are debts they were not able to collect on, and now they're having like a fire sale.
Correct. That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
And a lot of there's a fair amount of them. It's less now than it was, but there's been a fair amount of these debts that just didn't exist, or that, like I said, were already paid off or discharged in bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, somebody's getting a phone call, and it's from ABC collection agency or law firm, or they're getting sued and say, you owe this money on this debt. And the client will call me and say, I have no idea what they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
or this debt was discharged, or I paid this off years ago. But they, of course, the consumer has no record of it anymore.
Right.
Because why would you keep a record of anything like that? In fact, most consumers don't keep records of a whole lot of anything, as we found out over the years. But the bottom line is that when the savings and loan industry, the Neil Bush created fiasco,
mm-hmm.
when the savings and loans fell apart in the 80s, the government went out and sold off all their assets, including their accounts receivables, which would be credit card debts,
right.
to big companies such as Sherman Financial Group, Unifund, Asset Acceptance Capital Group. And they sold them all these debts to the point where these companies were making billions of dollars in revenues a year collecting on these old debts. And what they're allowed to do is, if even if they buy the debt for 2 or 3 cents on the dollar, they can still collect 100% of the face value of the debt. The problem is that these companies rarely have the documentation to prove the accuracy of the debt. A lot of times they can't even prove they own it, and they certainly rarely will have the original contract showing the parameters of what they're allowed to do. Now, why is that important, do you know? It's a contract.
Well, yeah, it's a contract, but the amazing thing is that if somebody gets a phone call like that, I wonder what the percentage is of consumers who just pay what they're being asked to pay.
It's a fairly...
versus looking into it or calling us.
We get it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We get people calling who say, oh, I just worked a deal out with this company, or I want to work a deal out with this company, or they got a judgment against me because I worked a deal out and I couldn't keep up with the payment plan. And the first question I ask them is, well, how do you know they even own the debt?
Right.
And under the law in Pennsylvania, which is decided as case law, they have to prove they have the original contract. Now, the reason that's important, it's kind of a more of a legal type question, is that in the initial contract, it'll tell you what state and what laws that govern the actions and rights of both the debt collector, the debt collector or the debt purchaser, and you, the consumer.
But isn't that in that, like, teeny tiny little tiny print?
Well, teeny tiny little print, but no, what happens is that what they do is every month they send you on the back of your invoice what we call envelope stuffers, and they it lays out what your rights are, but it still goes back to the original contract, because if you trust a credit card company, well, then you're trusting the wrong person. So who knows if even those envelope stuffers are complying with the law.
Right.
So, but what you look for on these contracts, when on the rare occasion they actually have the right ones, or the rare occasion they actually have them, they also have a copyright date that's in really teeny tiny writing. And so what happens is, let's say I have a client who took out a credit card in 1999, and they come up with a card member agreement, which is required by law, by the way. Not the card member agreement, but certain disclosures which you find on these card member agreements. And the card member agreement will say copyright 2008 or copyrighted 2012, the year you're getting sued.
Right.
Well, that's not good enough. It's got to be the original contract.
Right.
Because anything after that would be considered a modification, but the original contract might not allow for a modification in the terms that they do.
So if these companies know that they don't have the proper documentation to win their case, why did they even pursue these at all? I mean, I know they're buying it at a fire sale, but why do they even think they're going to win it
against
the consumer?
It's a good question, because approximately 95% of these cases end up in default judgments because people don't respond to them.
Right.
I think people get intimidated. They
right.
get a notice from the court. They don't know what to do. They figure they can't afford an attorney. We do our best to work terms out with our clients. And a lot of times within those lawsuits, there are lawsuits against that we could find. There are issues that we find that form the basis of a lawsuit against the debt purchaser or the collection agency or the attorneys who actually filed the lawsuit. You know, we get a fair amount of cases where people send letters to clients, and it's from a law firm. It's on their letterhead. It
right.
might even be signed by the lawyer. And it says, at this time, no attorney has personally reviewed your file. But if you don't get back with us or pay this off, we're going to have to do something about this.
Right.
Well, that's deceptive.
Right.
That once it goes to an attorney, they've now stepped up the case. As one of the courts said, they have now escalated the stakes. And so people get those letters, and they go, oh, my God. You know, they're not reading between the lines that the attorney has done nothing. has not read it, and they're saying, oh my God, I got a letter from an attorney, I better pay on this debt.
Right, and that's how they win. I mean, that's how these companies win, because it works in their business model. They know that they're going to get as many people who are going to pay, as many people who are going to ignore, and as many people who might sue.
Well, you're right. It's a numbers game.
Right.
It's just like, you know,
the numbers are in their favor.
Right.
Still.
From any salesman knows that if you make 10 calls, you're lucky to get any calls back. But even make 100 calls, you might get three or four clients out of it.
Right.
So it's all a numbers game, and they count on the same thing. The more people they go after, the more chance they have of winning. And they can't collect a lot of times right away, but they let these judgments sit out there. If they sue you and you don't respond, or you lose the case, they let the judgment sit out there. And for homeowners, if they own a house, the judgments become liens against the house. Eventually, you're going to sell the house or refinance it or want to do something with it, and you got to pay the piper at that point.
Right. So the zombie part is the fact that they rise again.
They rise again, just like zombies. You think they're dead, they get up, and I can't tell you how many calls I've gotten from people whose debts have been discharged in bankruptcy, or people that just say, wait a minute, we've had cases, people have paid off the debt 10, 15 years ago. And, you know, like I said, not only are they not going to have a record of the debt, but the people after them are not going to have any record going back either.
Right.
So, you know, what happens is they're liable for a lawsuit that they're trying to collect a debt that's not owed. And, you know, sometimes the lawyers will come back at me and say, well, you know, you've got to prove that you don't owe the debt. And, you know, fine, we'll go to court after I sue your client, or after I sued them, and we'll see, you know, what a jury believes. Are they going to believe the consumer? Are they going to believe the debt collector? So, you know, most of the people that I represent, I found to be, you know, pretty honest and truthful, or very honest and truthful, and sincere, and they come off that way. So, you know, I have no problem going to court with, you know, the majority of my clients. You know, every once in a while you get somebody, you know, who may not be expressing themselves all that clearly or accurately, but
mm-hmm.
that's part of what happens in the law.
But is this a common practice of debt collector companies? I mean, are there certain types of collection agencies that are more on the up and up than others, or...
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I'm sorry to cut you off there.
I'm kind of glad you did, because I didn't know where I was going with
it. Well, I read your mind. That was the whole thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, there are companies, like anything else, that have better reputations than others. There are law firms that, you know, I like to deal with who are debt collection firms that I feel are... It's not that they're... There's a couple out there that I found to be a little bit, I would say, disingenuous, meaning that they're really kind of pushing the line there on, you know, what their position is. But most of them I find to be pretty nice people, and they're just trying to make a living, and they're pretty honest about things. But every once in a while, just like everything else, you get your bad apples.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a real fan of collection agencies in general. I have a few out there I've dealt with that I got a pretty good relationship with, that mostly because I've sued them so many times. But, you know, I don't call them yelling at them or anything. And, you know, we just try and, you know, get the cases settled or move them along in a clean way in litigation. But there are some out there that are just really bad news. And even in the face, I had a case years ago, speaking of that, where... We went to court, down in federal court, where we filed these suits. It was against a big out-of-state law firm who had already been nailed in their state by the attorney general for their bad practices. And they were claiming that the people who had called my client were not working for them. Well, we had called their office, and in that state you could tape the calls. The one, it's called a one consent state. So we called them, and we had voicemails... in their voicemail boxes answered by the people who they claimed didn't work there. So I was walking out of the courthouse, and I said, look, I said, why don't we just try and settle this case? And my client doesn't want to settle because of this and that. I said, well, here's your client's phone number, right? Let's call. We called. I push the buttons. Oh, this is, you know, John QX here. Well, that was the end of that. That settled that case very quickly. So, you know, even in the face of the truth, even when it's on their own voicemail,
right,
they sit there and, you know, play games with you. So
right,
you try not to give them too much of the benefit of the doubt or any benefit of the doubt, you know, unless, you know, it's shown that your client misunderstood something or, you know, I maybe misunderstood something. Anyway, our number is 610-701-9243. And this is Michael Forbes and Nancy Forbes.
And we're going to take a break.
Looking for endless potential in one machine? The Kubota BX Series is the one machine that can take on nearly any outdoor project. Now with Kubota's Orange Plus program, get great customer instant rebates when you buy a new BX70 and two implements. And get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 5 years during our Power to Do Great Things sales event. Now through December 31st, 2015. Call toll-free 1-888-465-8268 for details about cost and terms. For more information or to find a participating dealer, visit Kubota.com.
Higher certificate rates are here at Citadel, with annual percentage yields at Citadel as high as 2.25%. Now is the time to make your money work for you. Hurry on in to your nearest branch office and take advantage of these great certificate rates, or visit us online at CitadelBanking.com. Citadel, banking with one focus, you. Minimum deposit $500, term 60 months, rates subject to change, federally insured by NCUA.
The fall season is upon us, and that means wet and slippery roads. It's time to think about your tires. Tires lose grip as they wear, and even more as the temperature drops. Be prepared for winter driving by installing a new set of Hankook tires. Hankook provides exceptional traction and long mileage for your car, SUV, or light truck. At CJ's Tire, we have the best selection of high-value tires, like Hankook, at the best prices, all guaranteed with our price match promise. Installation and lifetime rotation are always free with your purchase. Don't let winter driving get in your way. Go to cjtire.com to get a quote or stop in at any of our 13 convenient locations. No appointment necessary. CJ's Tire and Automotive Services, better, faster, and more affordable.
This is the talk of Chester County, 1520 WCHE.
Welcome back to the Consumer Defense Line with Michael and Nancy Forbes. Nancy, what do you got going now?
Well, it's time for the Coulter Credit Challenge.
What the heck is the Coulter Credit Challenge?
Well, hey, Ramsey.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
First, I've got to ask you, how was that event that you were with all your brethren in credit counseling?
Yeah, it was a credit repair boot camp down in Tampa, Florida, and it's the only type of event that they have twice a year where everybody in the credit repair industry gathers and gets updates on, you know, new regulations and, you know, different tips and tricks, you know, to help consumers, you know, improve their credit.
And I guess it was pretty well attended.
Oh, yeah, it was an amazing event. Learned a lot of new stuff and got to network with a lot of, you know, companies to keep in touch with.
That's great. And speaking of events, we're going to have an event, right? You and Michael?
Yeah, absolutely.
On November 12th?
Yep, Thursday, November 12th at 7 p.m. It will be held. It's a free event, credit education event. You know what? And then Michael will talk about what debt collectors can and cannot do when trying to collect a debt from you. That'll be held at Coatesville City Hall, and that's right in town. If anybody has any questions about that, they can give me a call at 610-314-1094.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Ramsey.
I think I'm a little surprised
too,
that Coatesville has a city hall.
Yeah, they do.
I don't think a lot of places have a city hall. I don't think... Well, Havertown, where we grew up, they don't have a city hall.
It's very disappointing.
I wonder how that happens. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a lot. You're right. A lot of towns don't have. Who else has a city? Well, whatever. That's a whole other discussion.
I didn't mean to get off track here.
No,
but
I'm fascinated by that. I'm going to have to research it now through my Google. Ramsey, there's a bunch of cases that just came out that are being filed, interesting lawsuits on employment background credit reports. I don't know. You probably don't deal with that. You're dealing with, like, the regular consumer reports, the typical ones with, when you go for a mortgage or a loan or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different type of credit report that the consumer gets compared to what employers get, yes.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that after we get off today because these cases are fresh off the presses here and they're very interesting.
Okay.
Ramsey, I got a question for you. Who's supplying the food on that night at the end?
Well, it's after dinner time, so, you know.
Well, it's not going to be a problem like that cheesesteak event at the Link where they had too many people and a lot of people got shut out of getting their favorite slices of their pizza.
Is that
cheesesteak.
What happened?
Yep.
Nobody will get shut out of our event due to food.
Yeah, worst case scenario is you're just going to have to stand in the back. But I was told, you know, the City Hall can hold 50 to 75 people. I think we should be fine, but hopefully it's packed room.
Well, I think that's great, and I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to learn what you just learned. And
Ramsey, were you listening in at all? Did you hear about the zombie dead? Is that something that you've had experience with?
Yeah, absolutely. I was listening, and it happens more often than you would think. I've had some of my clients call me and say, I just got a phone call from, they normally don't have a name of a collection agency because usually they're illegitimate. They're scammers a lot of times, just trying to get someone to pay. And they'll say, they were telling me that I owe this money, and I paid it, 15 years ago. And I look on the report and I say, look, there's nothing on your report. It's a scam phone call. If you can get an address from them, that'd be great, but it usually doesn't happen. In the rare case that it does, then we would turn that over to Michael immediately.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because we get those calls every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. They all have the same earmarks. And, you're putting an arrest warrant out for you, or we're filing a summons. The sheriff is coming out. The sheriff doesn't come out around these parts. They may come out down in Alabama somewhere, but not
really
Pennsylvania.
They really terrify people.
They really scare people a lot, I don't blame them. I get frantic calls. People are really hysterical about it, and I calm them down. And I said, look, call the FBI, literally. Call the police, and then when they call again, say, look, I just called the FBI or I called the police, and that usually puts an end to the phone call. But they're looking at the bankruptcy court list, or they're buying lists of people who owe debts years ago from payday lenders, and former employees sell these lists, or maybe the lenders themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a little scary. Well, Ramsey, thank you for coming on. We always appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And we're going to go talk about this case with the employment background checks.
Perfect. I'll be listening. Thanks a lot, Michael. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ramsey.
You too. Anyway, back to the Consumer Defense Line. This is Michael and Nancy Forbes. And there's a case that just was filed a few weeks ago in federal court in New Jersey. It's a class action lawsuit, and this guy Theo Feldstein versus Amazon.com, and it's an interesting case. Feldstein was, and you should know this if you have any employment, if you work or you're looking for a job for somebody, this guy was looking for a job as a seasonal employee at $14 an hour. So he went, he interviewed, and this is according to the complaint. So according to the complaint, he went and he interviewed with Amazon. Amazon performed the background checks on each candidate. So he was interviewed, and he was he was offered the job pending the background, or what they said was contingent upon the background check. He gets an email telling him that he was declined the job because of criminal, some kind of conviction that came up on the credit report in his background. And the guy sitting there, I'm sure he was totally befuddled because he did not have a criminal conviction. So he then went and he disputed the credit report, and it's not one of the three major agencies, the TransUnion, Experian, or Equifax. It's a different type of credit reporting agency. So he then disputed the report, and they corrected it. They made a mistake. He then went back to Amazon and said, okay, I corrected the report. Is that job still open? And they said no.
But did they even share with him the credit report?
No, and that's the big clincher here.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is what's called an adverse action, mm-hmm. meaning that they're going to take an action against you, even as a prospective employee.
Wow.
So you don't even have to be hired to have the law protect you in this area. So what they were supposed to have done, this agency and Amazon, is this, whoever the defendant is on this case, I don't want to indict Amazon. It's Amazon.com LLC and Amazon.com DEDC LLC. They're the defendants.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're alleging, and I'm not saying they're doing it because I don't know, what they're alleging and what you have to do under the Fair Credit Reporting Act is you have to provide notice to the applicant and include a copy. You have to provide notice that you are looking into the background, and you have to provide notice of what you found and a copy of the report, as well as notice of your right to dispute the report before they take the actual adverse action against you.
Wow.
So what they should have done with this guy is send him a letter, and I think they could have done it by email too, saying, listen, we found this on your credit report.
Right.
Here's a copy of the report.
Right.
Based upon this, you have the right to dispute it, but based upon this, we're also going to take this action. And then it becomes a timing issue, which is opens a whole other can of worms. Well, they didn't do that, and there's a couple cases out there right now. They're class action cases, meaning that he is representing, the law firm has designated him as the lead plaintiff or the lead person in the lawsuit. That represents, you know, hundreds or thousands of other people that have had the same issue. So it's going to be interesting.
And he was probably sitting there thinking, okay, it's just a background check. I have nothing to worry about. He thinks he's gainfully employed any day now. And the next thing you know, it was all just kind of ripped away from him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think happened there, too.
Pretty
and
awful.
There's several cases. The other case we looked at, I don't have it in front of me, but the same thing happened to this other gentleman. And the worst part about it is the convictions that came back were drug convictions. And you're right. I didn't think of that. They're just sitting there, you know, thinking, this is great. I got a job. I'm going to, you know, be able to move things forward again. Or move things forward, period,
mm-hmm.
in my life, you know, with an income. And then they're just kind of knocked down and blindsided
here. Awful.
So, you know, a lot of times we feel helpless in the face of, you know, big corporations or the government. And, you know, there are laws out there to protect us. We find the biggest problem is people don't know those laws.
Right.
Well, if you do, please call me, or if you have a situation, which I hope you don't, but if you do, call me at 610-293-9399. That's Michael Forbes, the law offices of Michael Forbes, 610-293-9399. So I think we're coming into the port very shortly, or the dock. I mean, I need some port at this point in the day every day. Maybe I should have some every day.
I'm with
or
you.
Something. But, you know, being in Westchester, there's plenty of places to go get that.
I didn't know you knew boating terms.
I don't. I'm thinking the dock, the port, what's the difference?
Just
look,
the
I represented the crew of the Maersk Alabama. So
that's true.
I know the term pirate and,
you
know, things like that.
Okay.
But, you know, basically what we find is that most people do not know about these laws and that they have rights. So before you start handing over your hard-earned money to people or make deals with money that you don't have, you should call my law office at 610-293-9399. That wraps it up. We will see you in 2 weeks for Nancy and myself, Michael Forbes. Have a wonderful week.